better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Obviously, we're going to recap everything that happened over the weekend in sports, but just looking at it from the Razorback fall camp perspective and the press conference that Chad Morris had, and if you want to watch it in its entirety, be sure to head over to hitthatline.com as we have the entire press conference as well as other press conferences and other interviews with some of the Razorback football players as well. But it seemed like over the weekend, in that press conference with Chad Morris, it was the quarterback, QB1, being the theme of what Chad Morris was asked about, what was talked about. And I counted up the questions he actually had. He's about a 20-minute interview that he had, a 20-minute press conference, and five of the 10 questions, half, were about the quarterback.
Right.
And it also seemed like Chad Morris was getting a little frazzled, which I don't use that word lightly, but he's getting a little frazzled with the amount of questions that he not only was getting on Saturday, but the fact that every time he meets with the media, it seems like they start pushing him on the issue of, all right, who's going to be QB1?
Yeah, and you know, you referenced correctly that he was asked a lot about it, and he kept making mention to, or he made mention to at least once of, you know, it's going to take them all to win. I don't know if he, because he was asked about linebackers and some other things too, and deciding a starter, whether they're going to lock themselves in a room. And I think he's frustrated. He knows the importance of the quarterback. I think he's fatigued on the question, but he knows who the starting linebackers are just as important for this team as the starting quarterback. We would beg to differ because we saw how the play of the quarterback last year really cost this team at least a couple of wins last year. He gets it. He knows that I think he wishes there was one clear-cut answer, and I guess at this point there's not.
Here's how I sense it too, and you can disagree if you think otherwise, but I sense that it's almost like he feels like he is being doubted, being questioned, that, you know what, you really don't know. You didn't handle this right last year. You know you didn't handle it right. Hey. And so, therefore, we're going to push you on this issue and say, you know, we want to know the starting quarterback because last year you kind of bamboozled it a little bit.
That goes to the, well, that goes along with 2-10.
Yeah.
That's part of the 2-10 territory you're in right now. So, yeah.
That could be kind of my vibe, too, and which I can understand. You said that, you know, Chad Morris, he knows. He's been in football for a long time. He obviously knows these kids and knows the quarterbacks, and he's been talking with Joe Craddock, made mention and made known that there's only one head coach on this team, too, and we'll get into that later in the show as well. But, yeah, it's a process that has to be done the right way, and you know that you have two guys in Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle that are grad transfers in, that both are fighting for the position, but apparently, not only is it those two, but John Stephen Jones keeps getting mentioned.
He keeps and continues, at least the last two Saturdays, to bring John Stephen Jones' name up right in the mix of all the quarterbacks, and oftentimes first. And I'm beginning to wonder, have we all written off this quarterback race to a two-quarterback contest? And we've discounted John Stephen Jones for whatever reason. Coach Morris continues to bring his name up. Joe Craddock continues to bring his name up. Players, people that I talked to that were at the kickoff luncheon that sat with some of the wide receivers, now that, you know, this is one person sitting with a couple of wide receivers, they spoke very highly of him, said they thought he was the best quarterback. I wonder how much this team's internally at least divided about who they think should be the quarterback.
It might be.
Will they rally around any of the three? I don't think this is the two-man race we like to think it is on the outside looking in. I think it's truly a three-quarterback race because when he reads off the stats, who had a touchdown, who got their team in the end zone, particularly when he's talking about the two-minute drills this past Saturday, who was the one guy that got him to the win?
John Stephen Jones.
Starkle threw a pick on a tip ball that Fouché came up with, and Hicks didn't get there either. So, and this is 2 weeks in a row that the guy that could get the team to the end zone was John Stephen Jones. And at the end of the day, I don't care what his name is. I just want that quarterback to get into the end zone.
Yeah, you don't care who it ends up being. But it certainly seems like, though, with just what we've been talking about, I felt like, at least back when it was first being mentioned about John Stephen Jones, oh, this is just a tactic to try to get a little fire going under Starkel and Hicks. You know, just to say, hey, there's another guy involved, and he was doing really good, so get a fire. But now, after he keeps mentioning it, it legitimately makes me wonder that if there's some validity to, hey, this guy's actually really good, and this guy is competing for the spot just as much as Hicks and Starkel.
Or are they, I'm cynical about everything. Or are they,
have to be.
Or are they talking us into something? I mean, we're not getting to see practices. And I hope that there's not misinformation out there about, Nate Allen wrote a column this weekend on Whole Hog Sports about if the media was allowed to practice, there'd be less misinformation. You can't help but agree with that. So, we're having to take everyone at their word, and that's hard to do with a program that hasn't had recent success.
Yeah.
A head coach that you really don't have a long track record with. But I'm just beginning to wonder, what are the odds? Because you can't tell me it's a 0% chance that John Stephen Jones starts that first game now in, what, 13 days? 12 days, yeah. It's Monday, not Sunday. 12 days. You can't tell me that the percentage chance of John Stephen Jones is zero. Now, I don't believe it's 33 or 50% or anything like that. But I don't believe it's zero either.
No. I don't think you can with the way he keeps being mentioned. But here becomes the question. If, and it is a big if, on Wednesday, after their scrimmage, and Chad Morris meets with the media, and he comes out and he says, game one starter against Portland State at quarterback, John Stephen Jones. Is your reaction immediately a negative one?
I think for most people, yes. I don't think it matters which of these three quarterbacks start against Portland State. I think all three of them can win against Portland State. I'm more concerned about who the starter is against Ole Miss. And logic says if you start against Portland State and you don't really mess it up, you're probably going to be the starter against Ole Miss. So I think any of those three quarterbacks can lead them to a win in game one. I'm not concerned about the win in game one. I'm concerned about competing and having a chance to win at Oxford.
And that's why it's so important in getting it right. Because whoever it ends up being starting against Portland State, you don't want to switch it up and against Ole Miss and go with a different guy. It can be disastrous is the point if you don't get it right.
And they get this last big scrimmage, and then they get the Beanie Bowl, which is kind of a game day practice walkthrough scenario this next Saturday. I think they go through the A. They do a lot of the game day traditions so that everyone gets a chance to practice. But I'm not expecting Wednesday evening after that situation, after the scrimmage, for us to have a starting quarterback named.
Really?
No. You think he's, without looking at the film, without consulting with the coaches, you think Wednesday, immediately in the after wash of the practice, he's going to step to the microphone and say, starter is, and gives you a name? No.
And when do you think it'll be announced? Is it going to be next week? The week leading up to the game?
When does he speak again following Thursday?
So the Thursday before the game starts?
Here's the other thing. Wednesday is also his radio show.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak to the media following practice. Joe Craddock's not going to announce it. We're not going to know Wednesday. So forget that.
So you think Thursday?
Unless they change the media schedule I have in my hand. Now, he doesn't speak again until Thursday the 22nd. He speaks again on Tuesday, but following that scrimmage.
Okay. So you have it this Thursday. Thursday or a week from Thursday?
This Thursday.
This Thursday. Okay. So
week from this Thursday, we're 3 days out. Yeah, we better know by then.
And that's what I was wanting to make sure. So you believe this Thursday you'll probably have an idea?
I think that, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I can't.
That's 10 days out.
Disagree. I don't know. You could be
that's
very 10
days
well
out.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying Joe Craddock's not going to be the one to tell you.
No, there's only one head coach.
Now, here's one thing. We all better be keenly tuned to his first radio show from the Catfish Hole will be on the 21st, this Wednesday.
That's right.
I guess he could say something then. You'll drive ratings up for that. Just tell everybody you're going to do it then.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of people showing up.
Do it
then.
In between the second and third fillet of catfish, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and he very well could. Would you be surprised, though, if they did, like, some social media thing for it, though? Like, that seems like how a lot of college football programs are doing it, where they put up a little hype video, and then at the end it shows whoever the starting quarterback is.
Would that surprise me?
No. Kind of annoy me if they ended up doing that. I'm like, see, you put it together. You put that whole video together, so you knew. You've known for a while, and then because just, oh, now we decided. That'd be a lot of frustration.
But there's a process. You mean, you need to visit with the other quarterbacks. Coaches need to have sit-downs with them and explain, we're making this decision, and you're not going to be the starter, here's why, but it's not, you know, you got to do it all. I mean, there's a whole...
It's a process.
Process. You can't just announce it willy-nilly, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, even though I want them to announce it willy-nilly.
You want it willy-nilly. You want willy and nilly.
Yeah, I want it all. I want all the willies and nillies that you can make in trying to get this quarterback situation solved, because again, pairing it to last year, it was a disaster. You just want to avoid that this year. And that's the way it'll make a lot of people feel better if they say, hey, this is our starting guy, and he announced it this Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. It'll just make people feel a lot better. The last thing you want to do is like, we'll see how it goes to Portland State. No, you don't want that. But we're going to continue to talk about
all quarterbacks are going to get a quarter each against Portland State.
If I hear that, I will punch myself in the face until...
Form the committee.
I stop breathing. Yeah, it'll just be that one. That'll be that horrible of a situation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Chad Morris continues to mention John Stephen Jones, as well as Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle. And if you want to get in on the conversation of the quarterbacks here on the Morning Rush, be sure to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Lisa is in Northeast Arkansas. What's going on, Lisa?
Well, I'm nervous. I was okay. And thank you for taking my call, too, by the way.
Of course.
After watching this press conference with Coach Morris, and I'm sort of kind of at loss for words, which is usually not my mojo, but he made me nervous. And he got a little testy. He got a little, I don't know. And I'm wanting to know why KJ Jefferson's name's not being mentioned more. I'm hearing from people that's watched him that he's the best one out there. Well, if he's the best, pull the red shirt off of him. What's the deal here?
Interesting. You know, with this 4-game rule, if they create packages, because I've heard some of the same things you're talking about, and his mobility, his ability to run the football from the quarterback spot. Lisa, I wonder if they're going to create some packages where they come in, not wildcat, wild hog type stuff, but something where he comes in and brings that balance to running and throwing.
Well, they better come up with some packages and put him in it, because I want to tell you something. When you're a coach in the SEC and you get asked the tough questions, you don't get mad, you don't get bristle-backed, and you don't start barking at the people that ask them. You stand up like a man, and you answer the question. Now, I like Coach Morris, and I want him to succeed. But this getting testy in a press conference when the season hasn't even started, he better get down to business and not, you know, this is worrying me, folks. I'm sorry. I'm nervous.
Well, let's be honest, Lisa. Let's be honest. You have every reason to be nervous, because if anything like last year, of course, going 2-10 is not going to make anybody feel good. But also just the way that the quarterback situation was handled at the beginning of the year, I know that it was a different players, different personnel, different everything. But there is no doubt that that was a huge detriment to the start of the season, especially for Arkansas, because the quarterback situation couldn't get figured out. And I think that's why everyone's really on edge about finding out who the starting quarterback is, because the last thing you want to do is go through what you went through last year where they couldn't figure it out and they had to use 4 or 5 games before they finally named him.
Is that why you're nervous?
Because they don't have... I'm nervous, okay. But let me say this, and then I'll hang up. But when I sat there last year, and I'm just a 60-year-old woman sitting out here in the middle of a rice paddy over here in Northeast Arkansas. But when I was sat there and watched that North Texas game and saw the debacle that it was, and I could figure out that the wrong quarterback was out there, why couldn't people making millions of dollars figure it out? Now, they better get it figured out. They better get it figured out pretty quick, or I don't know what I'll do. I'm liable to storm the field the very first game, because we should win that game 9-0 and not even win. I'm sorry, folks. That's the way I feel about it, and I don't usually down-talk the Razorbacks, but I watched it to my detriment over and over and over, and I thought, man, you're an SEC coach. You can't act like that. I don't know. I'm nervous. I don't admit it. I tried to stay strong, but my knees are buckling. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, appreciate it as always, Lisa. And I know that it's everybody's nervous and everyone's a little on edge about it. But just to clarify, with the exchange that she was referring to with Chad Morris in his press conference on Saturday, it was actually between the great Bob Holt, because Bob Holt kind of pressed him a little bit.
The Grand Inquisitor.
On the quarterback situation as well, and here is that exchange between the two.
On the quarterbacks, is it a deal where, like, you and Joe, I mean, you guys know probably here you're going to start and you're just not saying, or do you really not know?
No, there's only one head coach.
Well, okay. Well, do you know who you're going to start and you still want to say, or do you really, you haven't determined it yet, you know?
We haven't determined. We'll sit and talk as a staff. And they all have one vote, and I got one more than all of them. So, no. I mean, you know, we'll decide as a staff. When we walk out of a staff room, we're all 100% on board, whether that's the starting center or the starting linebacker. I mean, we're all on board at that point.
But in your mind, you still haven't really decided.
No, yet. I have not, okay. No. We've got a lot of evaluating that we've done, and, you know, it just depends on what day you ask me. I mean, some days it's, you know, it's one, some days the other. Right now, these guys are working their tail off. They're working hard.
If you want to watch the entirety of the press conference, head over to hitthatline.com. We have the press conference with not only Chad Morris, but some of the players. But after hearing that, I mean, do you feel like that was a bad way of handling it? Or do you feel like there's maybe that you're sensing some stress there?
I don't think it's as testy as
I don't think it was testy.
Being framed, but I mean,
frustrations.
I think he's frustrated with the question, and I don't have any problem with Tom, Bob, Nate, Trey Biddy, any of those guys asking it. I would have a bigger problem if they weren't asking these questions. That's the question that needs to be asked until there's an answer. I mean, there's no way around. And I understand the quarterback and the coach's eyes. He's trying to paint this picture that the center and the linebacker and the quarterback, you know, kind of are the same in his eyes, but they're not. And he knows it. We know it. Let's quit having this dance here. Let's quit doing the dance. But I don't think I think he's genuinely not ready and doesn't have it figured out in his head, in his staff's head. I don't think there is one starting quarterback, because from all accounts, there's not one guy getting more reps than the other. Markedly more reps. That's when you will know that you have a starting quarterback, when practice consists of one of these guys stepping up and taking far more reps than the other. And that'll happen over a 2 or 3 day progression. You'll start hearing about it, and that'll be that. But we haven't seen that to this point.
But
they've all been pretty equal.
But do you believe Chad Morris and him saying that he does not know who the starting quarterback is? Do you think that he actually does?
I don't know. I'm afraid that he doesn't.
But you're hoping that he does.
I'm hoping that he does. But I don't think it's that he can't figure it out. I don't think these three or maybe four guys, if you put Jefferson in that conversation, have figured it out.
None of them have separated themselves.
Exactly. They use that word. They didn't. Now, the word consistency didn't come up Saturday, but the word consistency has come up a lot. And I think just the way they're playing, we are so focused on turnovers and touchdowns right now and getting that tally. And I think that's because when the writers need something to write about, we need something to talk about, TV needs something to put on TV, and that's what, you know, someone's keeping track of, is who scored and who created turnovers. And, well, you're hearing a lot of different names every time that conversation comes up.
Yeah.
Particularly at the quarterback spot.
Yeah. And if it ends up being, whoever ends up being, I think that there's going to be an element of nervousness. I guess at this point that if it ends up being, for instance, Nick Starkle, if he gets named the starter, just from going off the vibe of what I've been feeling from Razorback fans, that would be the one that most people would feel comfortable with. just because of...
I think that's who they want it to be, because he's got the SEC experience.
Exactly. And that's, again, it goes to what they would feel most comfortable with. And Ben Hicks, if he was named starter, people would be like, okay, but, you know, he played at SMU. You know, he didn't have the SEC experience. Well, he wasn't even that great at SMU as far as his numbers go, where he completed just a little over 50% of his passes, threw a lot of interceptions. And from the look at it from practices, though, there he's been throwing some interceptions as well in scrimmages.
But let's be honest. Razorback fans, we'd start Colton Jackson at quarterback if we thought he could get him to 6 or 7 wins
this
year.
Of course.
It doesn't really matter. We don't. It's not that fans have a favorite, because there's not really an in-state guy that, you know, this needs to, you know, we've seen that before where fans got behind a particular quarterback because they were an in-state favorite. That's not the case here at all. So I don't think fans really care which one it is. They just want the best one, and they want one that can win 6 or 7 ball games this year. So that was Colton Jackson, which is not going to be. You know, that'd be fine. It doesn't. I don't think fans have a rooting interest in one. They just want to know. And I think that's partly because we as the media want to know.
Yeah.
We feel like there's something we're not getting to see because we're not at practice, and we can't really formulate an opinion about it because we're not seeing enough to really come away and say, well, this guy should be and not this one, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I've seen in practice. I think that's part of everybody's frustrated. Coach is frustrated with the questions, and the media is certainly frustrated without seeing any practice.
Mm-hmm. And the fans
are
frustrated,
and I think those two things
too.
Are collective. Well, the fans are stuck in the middle because those two, you know, they depend on us as media, tell them what's going on. We're not being allowed to tell them what's going on. So all the media can do is continue to ask questions that are very pointed about the starting quarterback, and the coach is tired of hearing the questions. That, to me, is what we have going on here.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair assumption, and it's fair that Chad Morris is still not saying who the quarterback is, even if he knows. Listen, he's the coach.
It's his butt on the line.
That's right. That's right. I mean,
but it's really all of ours, because we're tired of this 2-10, 4-8, subpar crap we've been given.
Yeah, but naming the starting quarterback today instead of on Thursday is not going to help you win games.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, oh, now they're going to win more games. It's not going to be that case. It's just a matter of everyone. We just need to get the freaking season started. That's what it needs to happen. We just need to get there and actually get football games being played. I think that will solve everyone's problem as far as, okay, instead of speculating, instead of just coming out here and trying to figure out what's going on, since we have no information, we can actually see what's going on the field, and that's what it comes down to. Let's just get football season.
We're tired of our information only being what the coach is telling us.
That's right.
Take him at his word.
Yeah.
But that's just part of a closed camp.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, let's go ahead and get this over with.
I have just one question for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Welcome to the most incredible 2 hours of your life. Here he is. The Clay Henry.
That's right, folks. Let's welcome in the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, Clay Henry. Clay, so glad you could pencil us into your otherwise demanding schedule here this morning on the Morning Rush. I kind of hope you have a great weekend too, my man.
I did, and you guys should see me in my living room. I've got two spoons, and so when the drum comes on, I drum.
Well, you like to text us and say that you're eating breakfast and that you're up, which I appreciate, because that means that you're at least away.
Yeah. Well, I want a good base for the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be, you know, you got to get up. You know, I'm working on this book for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and I'm writing a chapter on John Outlaw. It's a history of Arkansas high school football, and he got up at, you know, like 4:30 every morning. His roommate was John Thompson, who we ought to get on here.
Yeah.
John's retired. He's a really good friend of mine in Atlanta and does some radio. We have to get him one morning, and he'll do it just because I ask him to.
Mm-hmm.
But Thompson said every morning they would be at the cafeteria when the cafeteria ladies would roll in, like at 5, and he would say, "Gotta get a base, gotta get a base."
Yeah.
But generally, when you get a good base in there, it's because you know you're going to have six beers before noon. So I don't know what you're up to.
No, I don't think those boys were doing that. they at some point, I mean, I know what, yeah. Can I tell you one of my favorite UCA moments? It involves driving through Fort Smith. So that was back in the days of Coors. You know, you could get it in Oklahoma. You couldn't get it anywhere else. And, I mean, you know, it's like Bud Light's the beer of choice, right? But my dad was gone on some trip in Mexico, and I had his deuce and a quarter. John, do you know what a deuce and a quarter is?
Enlighten me, Clay. I do not.
That's a Buick Limited 225. I mean, it's like a Lincoln Town car.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
It was about three blocks long. And we borrowed it and took it to Muldrow, Oklahoma.
Oh, Lord. Nothing good happens
it up
there
with
at night.
Coors. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so we started back, and we realized that we had spent every last penny on, like, 40 cases of Coors. And now when we got back, we could sell it for $10 a six-pack, you know, at UCA. State College is what it was.
Wow.
So we had to pull in to get gas at Alma. And the only thing I had, it was supposed to be just an emergency deal. I could use it for my dad's credit card, his Exxon card, for gas. And I did. You know, he comes back. Everything's fine. You know, credit card bill comes in about 30 days. He calls me. He said, hey, on that beer run to Oklahoma, it was never mentioned. I don't know whether we left.
He knows. You know,
yeah, so.
Dads always know. So.
Last time I got to use the Exxon card, boys.
That sounds like it. But, hey, at least you're a good businessman that was out there, you know, making sure you got your money's worth on it.
All right, Clay, who's going to be the starting quarterback for game one? That's what everybody's worried about this morning.
Well, I mean, you guys hadn't been listening. I mean, he said it over and over and over. It is the guy that gets the ball in the end zone and that the team rallies behind. Who wins the team? So that's the guy. I mean, that's all you need to know. And if that's the guy, then it's going to be the right quarterback.
But he keeps saying that's John Stephen Jones. He keeps saying that's the guy getting him into the end zone.
Yeah, but he'll say that, and it'll be one time. I mean, it's like, if he does it one time, then he's going to mention it. And it's like, you know, and I think that's like, you know, you got the Bulls out in the field, you know, and somebody goes out there and says, who's going to charge? Well, it's the one that sees the red flag. He's trying to wave that red flag in front of Starkle and Hicks. You better look. This young one over here is getting them in the end zone. Now, they're pretty sharp, so they know it's one time. You know, it's all situational, and what they're doing is they're taking 3 weeks to put all four of them, including KJ, into situations to see how they're going to handle it. Every single situation, and they're going to go through it, and it's going to be, you know, quasi-equal. I bet you that Hicks and Starkle are getting, you know, the lion's share of these situations. And, you know, I think it's been, you know, any one of those guys has looked the best. I still think it'll be Hicks for the first game, Starkle in some situations, and they'll be ready to make a change to Starkle whenever that seems like it's the right thing to do. He's got the best arm. He's played in the SEC, but there's an awful lot to say, you know, for Hicks that he jumped in as soon as he could, you know, when the season was over. I mean, Starkle couldn't. He had to wait until the summer when he graduated at Texas A&M. So, I think that as far as the players from, you know, me talking, you know, off the record with some guys, they like them both. So I don't think it's going to be, oh, that's our guy because we like him better. We like that. I mean, these guys are ready to win. They want somebody that's going to win. And it won't be for any other reason that that's the quarterback that gets picked, the guy that can help them win. You know, I think it'll be Hicks. And I think that it's probably a bigger deal for people outside looking in to know what's going on because we don't know anything than it is on the inside because it may be already obvious to a lot of guys who it is. There are things that happen that don't. So what we do in the media and in the fans, that's what they get is the main nugget is, all right, who threw the touchdown passes and who threw the interceptions? That's all we got, guys. Mm-hmm. We don't see, you know, body language. We don't see, you know, who's getting the plays off fast enough. I mean, if I was in there watching, what I would want to know is who gets them to the line and who can get the play off and who gets it right more times than not as far as, okay, I see what this RPO is going to be. You know, the coaches signaling the plays.
Who looks like they're running the show? You know?
Yeah, but who is the guy that executes the RPO? Because that's the magic in this offense, the run pass option. And so what happens after the snap in that RPO will make or break you in this offense. If they can't run that, and they could not last year, and it wasn't just quarterbacks, it was wide receiver. Now, let me tell you, the development that's happening out there that is probably more important than the quarterback because it does relate to quarterback is wide receiver tight end. In that C.J. O'Grady's out, Deion Stewart's out. C.J.'s coming back probably next week, but, you know, you got two of your older players that probably, you know, might understand the RPO a little better that are out. And so I thought it was – interesting that some of the freshman wide receivers had good days in the scrimmage Saturday by all accounts. So those guys have got to get on the same page with the quarterback so they can run this RPO stuff because, you know, in this offense, when you have, you know, the pick six and the interceptions and, you know, you put it on the quarterback, most often it is because the wide receiver read the option route wrong. And there's option routes on all the RPO, and it has to be where it's right 100% of the time that the quarterback, he makes the decision on the RPO to pull the ball out, not give it to the halfback, not run it, and throw it. And it's got to be into the soft spot that the wide receiver recognized is the soft spot. And if it doesn't happen, it'll look like the quarterback just threw it to the wrong team. And it's more than likely, it was a receiver bust.
Well, Clay, one of the things we also talked about when we were watching Chad Morris's press conference, and I know you were there as well, but is he getting frustrated by the questions or that it seems like he keeps getting asked about or what's going on?
He's a head coach. No, I mean, he's those deals, he knows what the question is going to be before they're asked 100% of the time. And I don't mean he asks them, but there's two people that prep him for about 30 seconds on what's fixing. Just a reminder, hey, coach, this is what they're going to ask. They're going to ask about the court. Now, this isn't his first rodeo. I mean, he's been dealing with media. You think there's not – everybody kind of joked around about, oh, he didn't have a lot of media at SMU. What do you think he had at Clemson?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had 5, 10, 15 people after every – press conference, hey, coach, what about this? What about this? What about this? And he was front and center over there. Then you go back to his days as a high school head coach. Lake Travis, man, they had media. You know, the Austin paper was out there all the time. And the same thing with, you know, with the littler schools, you know, at Eustace and Stephenville. I mean, they cover high school football in those cities. I mean, the radio station is there, the sports editor, the local paper is there. There might be two or three sports writers there and three or four radio guys. And there wasn't internet like that then. But he's heard all these questions. You know, when they change quarterbacks, that's the questions you're going to get. He knows it. He's not frustrated. He's just going to go through them. But he's going to say almost nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to stir it up again. He's going to say almost nothing in a little. He's going to reverse the phrases, and it's going to be nothing, you know. And he's going to give you something different days about. Well, this guy did that in this period, and this guy did that in this period. Well, you know, it's that's just his way of saying I'm not telling you yet. And until they get through the scrimmage Wednesday, I don't think they will make a decision. And they'll know going into the Beanie Baby on Saturday, they picked one because then it's the Beanie Bowl. It's not the Beanie Baby.
Yeah. Do you know what Beanie Babies are, Clay?
Yeah, they're the little tie things.
Yes, the tie thing. Yes.
It used to be the rage. Every film station, you could buy the newest one.
That's right. Yeah, I had one of those, Clay. That shows my age and difference. But I just want to make sure that
I think we've got 200 of them.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Clay Henry, Hogs Illustrated Publisher, is joining us as well. And Clay, one of the things that's also going to affect the quarterback play, and we discussed this earlier in the show, was the injuries that were sustained by, of course, Deion Stewart being out for the season. Looks like he has a torn ACL. Jordan Jones also got banged up. He's going to be out for a few weeks. And, you know, wide receivers, they have a lot of young talent on it, but you're hoping to at least have some of the guys with more experience be able to help it out. And I'm wondering what type of impact that's going to have on the quarterback situation when you're losing some of your more veteran receivers due to these injuries.
Yeah, that's to lose Deion Stewart. He's a guy that was in the rotation and is a big play guy. He's also the punt returner. So it definitely has an impact, and you're going to get more out of, you know, the young ones, they're without question. And, you know, somebody like Shamar Nash and TQ Jackson, those guys have got to pick up their game and they've got to get in the playbook, and because they're going to get more. And it's, you know, Coylin Jackson was having a great camp. He's out for 3.5 weeks, so it'll be 2.5 more weeks. They scoped his knee. So, with Deion Stewart and Coylin Jackson, who's a third-year guy, that changes it a little bit. And, you know, you got a senior with probably the most experience that you're losing. And, yeah, it impacts, and you're not going to get him back. It's an ACL, and he's done for the year. So, and what it does is that it puts a position where you already, you know, you lost some guys in the off season. You know, Nance transferred to Missouri. Petway Smith transferred to Iowa State. You know, so that this is a roster that has been severely impacted by, you know, the comings and goings of the transition. And you know, that's why when you look out there and you see that they're going after 4 or 5 wide receivers in the next class, that's why. And got to shore that up. The good news is that these young ones are really talented guys. I mean, there are 4 stars and in some cases on the verge of being a 5-star. Treylon Burks and Trey Knox were really, really highly regarded, you know, when they came in. And without question, you know, TQ is one of the faster guys on the team. He's low 4.4s, maybe even high 4.3, and just a blur. So you got, you know, somebody like Jordan Jones, it's his time now. I'm telling you, you know, Mike Woods, of course, is the leader of that group. They've got some guys, but it's, you know, and they may be past the point in camp where, you know, it really was critical to have a lot out there because you don't want to wear yourself down by running. Yeah. You run so many routes in skeleton and team. When they were splitting into 4 units, it meant you ran a lot of plays with, you know, wide receiver. But I'd say probably at this point going forward, they'll be scaling that back and it won't be as bad.
Treylon Burks, his name continues to come up for making spectacular catches, great grabs. What's the ceiling for this young receiver? Where could he stack up as far as some of the better receivers, the Jarius Wrights, the Kobe Hamiltons, some of these guys over the last, say, 10 years or so? Does he fit in that same conversation? Is there potential for him to fit in that same conversation?
Oh, Tommy, I think you nailed it. I think he is all of that, maybe more. I mean, he's a, you know, like I say, he's a high 4-star. Yeah, you know, I was talking at dinner Saturday night with my brother-in-law Doug Corley, who coached at DeWitt and was athletic director at DeWitt for years. And he saw Warren he didn't like seeing Warren. DeWitt played Warren. It probably was not a fun day, but he saw you know, Treylon Burks, and he first of all, he sees a man child. I mean, he was out there, you know, at the 3A level. It was a man among boys, and he said that he could play any position on the field and play it well and not bat an eye. I mean, if it was tailback, if it was quarterback, if it was safety, if it was linebacker, if it was wide receiver. Of course, he's a wide receiver now. And wherever the ball is thrown, whether it's behind him, he can reach back with one hand, snag it with that one hand. If it's, you know, if it's low, he can just take his hand and take it right off the turf. If it's high, his hands are going to be a foot higher than everybody else. He'll grab it with two hands at the highest point, and he just does it over and over and over, and then he runs away from you at that size, you know, 6'4", 218, 220. And the part of it that the coaches, and Joe Craddock was the first one to tell me this, and it was last spring when we did my player evaluations where he went through every player on the offense. He said, Treylon Burks, you tell him one time, he is so attentive that he's got it. It doesn't ever come up again. He goes, you'll tell him to go study tape of this particular play, the thing, and he'll come back, coach, I got the great ones, and I'm talking about the great ones, the guys like Jerry Rice, they have the ability to play. They have the confidence to play. They have the desire to practice hard. And then they have the innate sense that, okay, I've got to add the other part to it, which is study it, study it, and study it. They do all the things well. It's not just their talent. I mean, some people think, well, it's just talent. No, it's all those other things that allow you to reach that next level. And, guys, he's going to get there. I mean, he'll make a mistake, but he doesn't make the same mistakes twice. And everybody likes him. He's a quiet guy. I mean, that just kind of, you know, is there. All at once, he's making plays and doing everything right in practice. So, yeah, he's one of those rare ones. And, I mean, we all knew it, too. And the people in Southeast Arkansas could tell you about it. And it was legend down there from, like, the ninth grade on.
Well, Clay, and it's going off of what the wide receivers are, especially these young guys. I mean, you had 4 four-star wide receivers come in. Now, we keep making the comparisons and saying maybe this can be the class that was similar to the Joe Adams, Jerry Surratt, Greg Childs thing. But what was impressive about that is, of course, they were great players. But this class of wide receivers may be even more impressive because there's only one of them from the state of Arkansas. All the other guys you had to go out of state for, and you brought them in. And as a wide receiver, and we all know, I'm not saying that everybody's a prima donna when it comes to wide receivers, but they definitely have a different type of personality. And one of the difficult things is, especially getting this many wide receivers to commit at Arkansas, is it's like, hey, you got to make sure that you got a good quarterback throwing the ball. And that's what I thought was fascinating, is these guys who are really talented and could be difference makers on the team, you know, they came into a situation at Arkansas where they're bringing in grad transfer quarterbacks. They got a guy with KJ Jefferson, and you know, they knew that was going to be the case as well. And it seemed like there was a big unknown for these wide receivers coming in, that they were just more hopeful that the quarterback situation is going to be figured out. Because these wide receivers may be great, but unless the quarterback throwing them the ball is capable of getting them the ball, then it's all going to be for naught unless they figure that out.
Yeah, good point, John. Okay, I want you to be the wide receiver, and I'm going to be Chad Morris, okay?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
All right, So, John, I know you're a 4-star, and you're the guy that's going to put us over the top. And I want you to look back at my career and Coach Morris's career. I'm Joe Craddock, and I've been around great quarterbacks, but our head coach has been around more. He's been around them at Lake Travis. He's been around them at Eustis High School. Everyone, they've all gone on to play Division I football. He got to Clemson. It was Taj Boyd. It was Deshaun Watson. It will be Deshaun Watson and Taj Boyd here at Arkansas. You come, you will have fun. You're going to be thrown deep balls. You're going to be thrown RPO. We're going to put you in a position with great quarterbacks to shine, and you're going to play in the NFL because these are the guys. So we're going to have Ben Hicks. He's coming. Yeah, we've already talked to him. He's still playing at SMU, but he's coming, baby. He's coming. And guess what? Trey Quinn, Courtland Sutton, they're in the NFL. You're going to be in the NFL. Just believe. Just believe.
Sounds good to me.
Pretty good pitch right there.
Yeah. Clay, it's almost like you were the one pitching to the wide receivers there for Chad Morris. But, and I get that. And I think that that's something that You know, if you're Chad Morris, you got to utilize
your cell vision.
Yeah, and you got to be able to forecast. Because that was the thing that when this great recruiting class that he had this past year was talked about, well, the thing that we at least approached it as when we had Richard Davenport on and he was talking about recruiting is one of the biggest pitches they had is playing time. Because you don't go 2-10 and then just say, all right, well, no, we're going to keep all the same players playing. It was playing time. But when you're coming off of a 2-10 season, though, like you said, Clay, you got to be able to sell a vision. You got to be able to sell a process and a forecast that, hey, it's bad now. We know it's bad. It was bad last year, and it's not going to be easy to get there. But we have it going on now. We have a recipe for success, and we want you to be a part of it. And that's, again, I know we keep talking about in the recruiting class, and the recruiting class hasn't really been on the field just yet, so we'll see how it plays out. But just from what we've been hearing and how they've been performing in practices, that's where the hope lies with a lot of Razorback fans, is just knowing that he was able to sell his vision to a bunch of high-caliber recruits outside of the state of Arkansas coming off a 2-10 season. If he can actually get to winning, if he can actually show the progress, if he can go 6-6 in 2019 and get to a bowl game this year, then why wouldn't the floodgates open up and him really be able to sell? All right, well, year one was awful. Year two showed massive success because of the guys I recruited. Year three can be even better if this 2020 class comes in and starts making a difference. So it just seems like it's building towards something. And if anybody has hope, it's in the recruiting classes that he has put together, and especially with a class like the wide receivers.
And that's, and I think that you also have to have hope then that you know that he's coached these guys in the past and he's been able to put together an offense. I mean, what, you know, he did it at Clemson. I mean, there isn't any question. He did it at SMU as far as offense. Now, what was great at Clemson is they had the defense. But, I mean, at SMU, the defense wasn't any good, but now he's got John Chavis to do that and Steve Caldwell. And I think that's going to happen. I'm encouraged when I look at the defensive end and I see Monteric Brown and Jarquez McClellan and Joe Fouché and Cam Curl. But I don't look behind them and see an awful lot. So that's where the recruiting has to continue to build. You know, defensive line, defensive back, wide receivers. And I think the offensive line is going to be in good shape when some of these guys, the six that they brought in last year, you know, have added another 20 pounds of muscle, as they will under Truman Carroll. But hope can't survive forever without results. Now, I don't know where it's coming. I don't know when it's coming. But Chad Morris needs one of those signature wins. He's got, the Brett Bielema deal kind of took off in our mind where we thought, uh-oh, this has got a chance, is back-to-back shutouts over LSU and Ole Miss. And I think you remember that. And, I mean, I was walking down through the stands after that second one, and I think it was Ole Miss first and LSU second, wasn't it?
It was LSU first and then Ole Miss.
Then Ole Miss.
Yeah.
But so, going down, was it like 30-0?
Yes. Blowout.
And just going down through the stands after that second one, and you could, the fans that were there, it's like, guys, we got to say, this is what it's supposed to be like. I mean, we just shut out two SEC West teams back to back. And just think about that. There hadn't been any shutouts. And I mean, if there'd been a shutout, it'd been the other way. And so you need something like that so that, it's not just hope, that you got some results-based feelings and confidence a little bit. It's going to happen. And these guys, I like the coaching staff. I like the way they prepare. I like what they've done the last, 10 months to kind of snap these guys out of the mental abyss. I mean, let's face it. They weren't good last year, but the middle part, their dauber was down. I mean, they finished the year and they'd been slapped around and they've been slapped around as far as, okay, we got totally new stuff that we're running. We don't understand it yet. We, don't have enough players to run this kind of stuff. The mental part of it was as bad as the physical. And, it's like the offensive line was in disarray, didn't have enough guys, didn't have enough older guys. So, I'm talking about having, 15 that are, sophomores, juniors, and seniors. That's what you have to have in the offensive line. And, everybody knew it. And so, but it's the worm will turn, but you need, now this is a scenario that can happen where all at once you're there and it's no more, it's not the hope anymore. Somehow you win at Oxford and you go to Arlington 4-0. I guarantee you Texas A&M is not that, they're not spending their time talking about Arkansas right now. It is, they're like, hey, we got, you know, we're going to get Alabama this year. We're going to get LSU. They're not talking about getting Arkansas. That's a game that Arkansas has had chances in. That's the week where it can turn, in my opinion.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.